Thank you, Alan. It's wonderful to be here. And Alan was very kind to me during the week because there seems to be a few of us that are sad today. My sister died just on a week ago, and the funeral's tomorrow. And Alan said, well, how about you not take the service? And I said, oh, how about I preach? So thank you, Alan. That's wonderful to share that. Also, Alan and I sort of nearly crossed paths, I do believe, 40 years ago, but we'll say 20. my second teaching appointment was at Wickham District High School, and I was then moved to Rockingham. And soon after that, Alan took up the appointment at Wickham. So we have a Wickham connection, even though we never saw each other there. But that's good to know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like today to talk about what I call teachable moments. I like to think that when Jesus told his parables, he might have been walking along or in the boat or whatever, and he used whatever he saw around the countryside with him to turn into a teachable moment. So this story about the parable of the birds and the seed and so on the rocky ground, it seems to me that they would have been with Jesus walking along and there was somebody putting their crop in the ground. And he would have said, look, the kingdom of God is like this over here. And there comes the parable. And I like to think that that's the way Jesus did it, because he's using what we would call a teaching moment. Those of you who are teachers would know that that comes from teaching theory. The idea is that the most effective way to learn something or to teach something is when the learners realise they need to know it. I remember when I was helping some Year 9 boys with a woodwork project at the Cathedral Grammar School where I used to work. I was helping them with a woodwork project, and one in particular was trying to drill a hole in a piece of wood by holding the piece of wood and drilling like this. And I said to him, look, here's a clamp. How about you use the clamp? It will make it a lot easier. At which point a 14-year-old who knows everything says to me, nah, that's a stupid idea. And so I let him carry on the way he'd been going before. 10 minutes later, I saw him showing his friend how to drill a hole in a piece of wood and saying to his friend, here, use this clamp. It'll make it, makes it easier. Haven't we all been there? I did not attempt to tell him that it was my idea first. Let him think that it was his own idea. A teachable moment. Teachable moments are important because they are points of accelerated learning. In a moment, you can learn something which once was too difficult or irrelevant. Curriculum writers know this and struggle with it all the time. By its very nature, a school curriculum is structured and places things in a particular order. And it's very difficult to make allowances for the unpredictable moment where things may be taught suddenly and quickly. And I don't know how often I've heard someone say, and maybe some of you have said this, but I've certainly heard it on the media, they should teach that in schools. Or, don't they teach this in school anymore? If only you knew. I have a teaching background. More often than not, those things are taught in school. But without a teachable moment, these are quickly forgotten or simply remain surface knowledge. I remember trying to teach loan calculations to a year 10 maths class, telling them that they might like to buy a car one day. It made no sense to my year 10s because borrowing money from a bank was not yet a teachable moment from them. Perhaps getting it out of mum and dad might have been, but not from a bank. Actually, I asked that class, I said, if you didn't have enough money to buy a car, how would you get it? And the reply came, steal it. And I said, okay, let's go with the lawful and honest means of getting money. And I explained that if you get it from a bank, you have to pay back more than what you borrowed. And they thought that was totally unfair. Maybe they'll invent a new banking system. Anyway, I digress. Seems to me that faith is no different. Faith too has teachable moments. Somehow we can attend church, go to Bible study and say our prayers, and nothing new or refreshing seems to happen for a long time. Surface learning may occur, but we long for a teachable moment. But unfortunately, it's not easy to manufacture teachable moments. This is where the parable of the sower comes in, where Jesus talks about what was happening in the fields round about. The sower scatters the seed, which is the word of the kingdom, and it falls onto various terrain. Bird-infested ground, rocky, joyless ground, thorny, choked-up ground, and good, growth-giving soil. Each one of these, I think, is a metaphor, and it's a metaphor for how the ground affects our faith. What about when we are hen-pecked? And then I realised after I'd written this, I need not be sexist, so I'll put rooster-pecked as well. So when we are hen or rooster-pecked, this is the terrain when no matter what you do, someone is picking on you. I wonder if you've ever been in that situation. One or two pecks are manageable, but constant pecking is overbearing. It's hard to live like this. It's a place of fear and humiliation. In this type of terrain, you put your head down, make yourself small, and constantly hope you will not make another mistake. In this terrain, faith may give you perseverance, but there's no place for anything new. And there's always the possibility that you might become like your enemy and start to peck back. What about when our ground or terrain is joyless? Life is tough, we all know that. And all of us must endure rocky ground, not all the time we hope, but certainly now and then. But Jesus' parable talks about joy. And I think that's a key to survival. Joyless paths are a sure impediment to growth. But rocky paths with joy are another matter indeed. Somehow, in the midst of difficulty, we must keep our joy. And I know it's not always easy, but it seems to be the way to grow. Perhaps the key is to surround oneself with joyful people. Maybe it's finding something to laugh at each day. And the other day in the office, Nick Freeman, the registrar, if you know him, said to me, "What do you want for your birthday?" Because I had my birthday as well last week. He said, "What do you want for your birthday?" And I said, "Lots of laughter." That's a good gift. And we did have lots of laughter, by the way. Joy brings us faith. When our ground is choked with weeds, there's a saying I've heard several times around the traps. It's the saying, that's just a first world problem. You may have heard it. In the midst of all the petty things that we can worry about, sometimes it's good to be reminded that's just a first world problem. What sort of petty things do we get annoyed at? Is it poor internet speed? Is it what colour to paint the walls of the house or recarpet the church or something like that? Will my outfit meet the approval of my friends? I'm thinking of 15-year-old girls here. Oh, goodness me, I went to the deli and they ran out of Magnum ice creams again. There's a clue, by the way. They're just first world problems. What about the people in the other part of the world who have real and significant worries, such as finding food, finding shelter, getting a job, or simply being safe? That's not to say we don't have significant worries, of course we do. But it's easy for us, I think, to overplay our first world mindset. Should I grumble that I got a green birthday cake instead of an orange one? Maybe I should just be grateful that I got a birthday cake. Grumbling and griping stunts our faith. What's needed is a way to turn gripes into goals. When we find ourselves in growth-giving soil, at the risk of mixing metaphors, it seems to me that we are meant to be the good soil. The community we create as we come together as God's people will either grow us or stunt us. We are in the good soil growing business. And you are doing that here, I know. Because I know there have been problems, but keep building the good soil. I think it's worth thinking with a bit of self-examination. We do well if we examine ourselves and ask these questions. What hen-pecking or rooster-pecking thing do I do at church from time to time? How can I stop doing that? Don't look at your partner. Whose joys have I squashed because I was jealous that they were happy? What can I do to keep joy alive in me and alive in this place? Am I being a grumble bum? Please excuse my turn of phrase, but you know what I mean. Am I being a grumble bum at coffee after church? People will listen politely, but will go home exhausted. There's a few people laughing at that. Can I turn my gripes into goals? And finally, who can I grow today? What little thing can I do to keep another's faith alive? So if we are to be soil, let us be good soil. Let us be good soil in this place. No pecking, no killjoys, and no grumble bums. Just good soil. The Lord be with you.
Thank you, Reverend.